WWR Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Juliana Vasquez.
And I'm Donovan Johnson.
What do we have for our listeners this week, Donovan?
We have lots of new media news. Our first story is about child influencers. There are lots of social media accounts featuring child performers. Are they playing or working?
How should child content creators be compensated for sharing their lives on social? Who makes money from these accounts? Should there be a law about getting child stars on social media paid?
We have lots of social media news for you this week, Juliana. Have you heard about Fizz? Our next report will be about Fizz, the social media app that targets students on campus.
Kayla Kidd is going to explain Fizz for the New Media Beat. Who's using Fizz? What is the controversy about Fizz on campus?
Juliana Vasquez has instant news for New Media Beat this week. What's your report about, Juliana?
I'm going to talk about Instagram Reels this week. Will Reels be the future of short-form video on social? What makes Reels so special?
After the Reels report, we have a story about independent journalists on social media from Aliyah Lidji.
Are young people abandoning the traditional news media for news influencers on social? Are those influencers independent journalists? What is the difference between an influencer and a journalist? Can you be both? Who can you trust?
We have lots of AI news this week. Bon Objeo has the next report about how documentary makers are using AI tools to generate voices and images. Did you watch the Gabrielle Petito documentary? Did you hear her voice?
Is it ethical to use AI to generate the voice of a dead person in a documentary? What's wrong with bringing people back from the dead?
Our final segment this week is an exploration of the role of deepfakes in the 2024 election.
Were deepfakes a problem in the 2024 election? Did they have any effect on the outcome of the election?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the State University of New York at Old Westbury.
We have social media news. Some families are turning their home life into a business by sharing their private lives on social. Sometimes the children are the stars of the show. What's the business model for these family influencers? Who gets paid? The parents? The children? How should a child star be compensated for their part in attracting fans? Ava Holgruen is here in Studio A to explain. Hello, Ava. Welcome to New Media Beat.
Hello, Juliana.
Ava, why did you choose to report on this topic for New Media Beat?
There has been a lot of buzz lately with the effects that social media has on children. Issues have arose to the point where California has had to enact two new laws.
What are the new laws?
The first is the Child Content Creator Rights Act, and it's going to require minors to be compensated if they are shown in at least 30% of logging content. The money will be set aside into preserved trust accounts for them to access at adulthood. The second is actually an expansion of the already existing Coogan Law. This law protects child performers, such as actors, singers, and dancers, by requiring 15% of their earnings to be set aside in trust accounts. It will now protect child content creators under the same requirements by recognizing them as performers.
And why is this type of legislation needed?
As social media has become a full-time job for many, there has been an increase of children shown online, whether it's a child influencer with their own account or a family vlogger who uses their child as a subject of their content. Essentially, these children are playing a role in a social media job, and there becomes an issue of exploiting them if they aren't being paid. Jackie Coogan, the child actor who the Coogan Law is named after, actually experienced this type of financial exploitation around 86 years ago. The issue still continues now as social media has become a job.
Who has already been affected by this?
So I found a few child influencers who have been affected. Ryan Kaji is a 12-year-old influencer who makes $30 million a year from his YouTube channel, but his parents are the one with the legal right to his money. Luckily, his parents have set up trust accounts for him, but this may not be the case for every child influencer. While Ryan is the one making the money, it should legally be his. Another is Tatum and Oakley Fisher, who are 8-year-old twins, and they earn up to $150,000 a month from their YouTube channel. They do have Coogan accounts with money from traditional media appearances, but otherwise their parents use their salary for the whole family. If it's the girls' money, why should their parents be allowed to spend it on other things?
Is this a national trend?
So California, Illinois, Louisiana, New Mexico, and New York all have similar Coogan laws, but so far only California, Illinois, and Minnesota have laws pertaining to child content creator compensation. Minnesota actually took it further to prohibit any social media account from making money if they feature children under 14. While these few states have laws to protect children, the issue still stands elsewhere. For New Media Beat, I'm Ava Holtzgren. Back to you, Juliana.
Thanks, Ava. Let's talk about Fizz with Kayla Kidd. Is Fizz the big app on campus? Kayla, what is Fizz?
Fizz is a new social media platform that gives people the capability to have private discussions on the app about their universities, colleges, and high schools. They have the capabilities of direct messaging, polls, and sharing things that are happening on campus or on their school environment.
How has Fizz impacted educational institutions?
So Fizz so far has negatively impacted educational institutions. They have been cited for bullying because they have had their anonymous platform is fostering an environment for people to, you know, be negative on there and just, you know, anonymously put things on there and speak about people, and all of those allegations can't really be regulated as fast as they would like it to be.
What has Fizz done about the problem of cyberbullying on their platform?
So far, Fizz has just reinforced their 8 principles from their social media site. The principles are good principles because they have a heavy stance against cyberbullying. However, their problem is moderators. So their moderators are people within the school and the institutions and their students, their kids. So a lot of times when the cyberbullying comes in, it's just a big volume of cyberbullying and they can't keep track of everything. So they basically send everything to the people that work at Fizz, and then they have a problem with taking it down because you have to vote on whether it's cyberbullying or not. And some of that can get misconstrued. But the biggest thing about cyberbullying is the false allegations, because they're saying that students are having inappropriate relationships with the teachers. So it's just a very hard thing to get a handle on and to prove these allegations, because they have to take all of them seriously. For New Media Beat, I'm Kayla Kidd. Back to you, Juliana.
Thank you, Kayla. We'll be right back with a conversation about Instagram Reels. Is Reels the best short-form video on social? Meta is betting that an Instagram Reels app could be a TikTok killer.
My co-host Juliana Vasquez is up next for New Media Beat. Saturday, April 5th, is the day that we find out if TikTok will really be banned in the U.S. Will Trump convince China to sell? Will he postpone the ban again? TikTok's rivals are not waiting to find out. They are hoping that TikTok fans will flock to their platforms for their short-form video fix. Which platform will be the next big video? Meta is hoping that Instagram Reels will fill that TikTok gap. Juliana, tell us about Meta's plans for Instagram Reels. Let's start with a basic question. What is Reels?
Instagram Reels are short-form vertical video clips that last up to 3 minutes long that users can create, edit, and share, something very similar to TikTok.
Why is Instagram considering launching a standalone Reels app?
Instagram is doing this because short-form video is driving engagement more than anything else right now. Reels is already bringing in 200 billion views a day, but TikTok is still the dominant platform in this space. A separate Reels app would let Meta focus entirely on short-form video instead of trying to balance it with everything else on Instagram. This move could help them compete more directly with TikTok and make Reels a stronger platform on its own.
How does the uncertainty around TikTok's future in the U.S. influence Meta's strategy?
With TikTok's future in the U.S. up in the air, Meta is wasting no time seizing the moment. If TikTok does get banned, millions of users will be looking for a new home, and clearly Meta wants them to be on Instagram Reels. But even if the ban never does happen, just the uncertainty is enough for Meta to push Reels as the safer, more stable choice. Meta is already doubling down, making sure Reels is front and center. So whether TikTok stays or goes, they're ready to win over their users.
How do Reels and TikTok compare?
When you scroll through TikTok, you never know what's coming next. That's because TikTok's For You page is built to push content from smaller creators, giving just about anyone a shot at going viral. Instagram Reels works a little differently. It mainly shows you videos from accounts you already follow, which makes it harder for new creators to break through. And that's a problem for Instagram. If they really want Reels to compete, they'll have to rethink how content gets discovered, because right now, TikTok still does have the edge.
If Reels becomes a separate app, how might Instagram's focus shift?
If Reels moves to its own platform, Instagram could go back to focusing more on photos and stories. A lot of users have been frustrated with how Instagram has shifted towards video. So this could be a way for Meta to separate the two experiences, Reels for short videos and Instagram for everything else. It might also help clean up the Instagram experience, making it less overwhelming for users who don't engage in Reels as much.
Even if TikTok isn't banned, how could the standalone Reels app impact the short form video market?
Even without a ban, a separate Reels app would make Meta a bigger player in the short form video space. Right now, Instagram has to juggle a lot. Photos, shopping, DMs, and video, all in one place. A dedicated Reels app would let Meta refine its algorithm and add better editing tools and make Reels more competitive. It could also attract more creators who might be looking for an alternative to TikTok. So whether TikTok sticks around or not, this gives Meta a better shot at dominating short-form video. For New Media Beat, I'm Juliana Vasquez. Back to you, Donovan.
Thanks, Juliana. Let's have a chat with Aaliyah Ladeed. Where do young people get their news these days? Is it the mainstream media, or is social media the place to go for news and information these days? How good is that news on social media? Is it trustworthy? Are there independent journalists? Are there influence journalists? What is the role of influencers in delivering the news to a younger generation? Aaliyah, is traditional news dying?
Hello, Donovan. News influencers can often be biased or misinformed, as they often prioritize engagement over accuracy. While some provide reliable news, verifying their sources and cross-checking with other articles, critical thinking is essential when consuming news from influencers. With that being said, influencers are not the most reliable source for news topics.
Can news influencers be trusted to discuss news topics?
Social media articulates news dissemination reaching global audiences instantly. It enables diverse perspectives, real-time updates, and citizen journalism. However, its rapid spread also amplifies misinformation, making fact-checking and source verification crucial for maintaining journalistic integrity and informed discussions. Especially platforms like Facebook and Instagram, and platforms where a lot of alleged politically educated people spread propaganda. For example, in 2020, there was a wide variety of propaganda around the year of 2020 with the Age of Aquarius on TikTok, which made people believe if they didn't become saints, they would expire immediately.
How does social media influence benefit to spreading the news?
Preventing false information requires a variety of source checking. However, it has its benefits as well. I think as time goes on, we will evolve as an economy to help other people get more information in different parts of the world. So social media is good with things like that. Through TikTok, it helps us know what's going on in other countries that may have not been accessible to us in our own.
What are ways we can prevent getting false information on social media?
Preventing false information requires verifying sources, cross-referencing news with reliable outlets, and using fact-checking websites. Avoid sharing unverified content, be skeptical of absurd and bogus headlines, and engage critically with information before accepting it as the truth. Cross-referencing can always be found using government official websites or even direct news sources. It's better to do research on your own to prevent any further misinformation. For New Media Beats, I'm Aaliyah Ladeed. Back to you, Donovan.
Thank you, Aaliyah. Let's keep talking about artificial intelligence disrupting media. Documentary media has a very strong code of ethics. Documentaries should be full of facts and avoid making things up. What about using AI to generate dramatic audio and video content for a documentary? Can we trust a documentary made with AI tools? Is an AI-generated image or voice a fact? Or is it fiction?
More AI media news from Yvonne Ogdio. Documentary makers are also using generative AI to create content. Yvonne, what are the ethical issues posed by generating content with AI for a documentary? Do you have an example of a recent use of AI in content in a documentary?
three-part Netflix documentary surrounding the disappearance and killing of 22-year-old Long Eden native Gabby Petito. The docuseries has sparked grave controversy over the use of artificial intelligence in the film. Voice creation technology was used in order to recreate Petito's voice for her diary and text message entries. The large concern came due to the pressing question of if cloning the voice of a deceased person in a film is ethical.
AI in filmmaking isn't new, but why do you think this particular case has received an overwhelming amount of backlash?
So, the use of AI in filmmaking first appeared in Roadrunner. For those who don't know, Roadrunner was a film about Anthony Bourdain, who faced similar backlash in 2021 after the director Morgan Neville had revealed that the documentary featured AI generation of Bourdain's voice for narration purposes. The public was outraged, and the film faced much backlash, as many felt the film was deceptive due to the lack of disclosure for the use of AI. Now, with the Gabby Petito documentary, many feel that the replication of Gabby's voice adds to emotional weight that some are saying are just eerie, and almost as if she was being brought back artificially. But the key point here is the ethical concerns. Should filmmakers be allowed to replicate the voice of someone who can't necessarily consent to their voice being used? In my opinion, it just feels a little bit invasive.
If the documentary had used a human narrator instead of AI, do you believe the public's reaction could have been more positive?
Absolutely. I think that with a human narrator, it can create a sense of storytelling without crossing the line into digital resurrection. It potentially could have maintained the integrity of the documentary without making viewers feel uneasy about the ethics of the voice recreation. What I really think is that people want to understand that the technology that's being used has to have some type of ethical boundaries. There's a lot of commentary on social media. For example, one user saying Gabby's words might have allowed for a more respectful and accepted way to tell her story. Now, what the user was saying was meaning Gabby's words from one of her family members, not the actual recreation of her voice using AI. So time and time again, we're really seeing the public responding very negatively to these different things.
Is there a need for ethical guidelines for AI in documentaries?
So due to the public's reaction and, you know, the controversy surrounding it, I really do think people are calling upon for ethical guidelines within AI and filmmaking. Especially at the way it's advancing so quickly, ethical boundaries really haven't quite caught up yet. I personally believe that when using AI to recreate someone's voice, especially a deceased person, there should be clear guidelines on transparency, consent, and emotional impact. Disclaimers like the one in the Gabby Petito documentary help. However, I think it's key to mention they don't erase concerns about whether it's appropriate in the first place. Setting standards for when and how AI can be used in storytelling can really help avoid these ethical gray areas in the future.
How do you think this controversy will impact the future of AI in filmmaking?
So, I think that the situation, and I really hope that it'll make filmmakers more cautious about using AI voice recreation, especially for these true crime and real-life tragedies. I really hope it does push the industry to establish guidelines and require explicit family consent before recreating someone's voice. But, you know, at the same time, this controversy highlights how AI is blurring the lines between storytelling and exploitation. I really hope future filmmakers, they really have to focus on, you know, using more ethical boundaries and guidelines when implementing AI in their documentaries. For New Media V, I'm Ivana Abgeo. Back to you, Juliana.
Thank you, Yvonne. My co-host, Donovan Johnson, is our resident deepfake expert. Donovan, what is your deepfake topic this week?
My deepfake topic for this week is politics. The development of new technology has only expanded by the minute. Many of the images and videos going around the internet have made people second-guess their vote.
What shifted the trajectory of the election?
Artificial intelligence and its many variations have promoted propaganda throughout the entire 2024 presidential election. The public has been left confused, considering that almost 70% of the voters were ages 50 and up, and they weren't up to date. With a lot of the new technology, it was relatively easy to spread misinformation about the candidates running in the election. Visual consumption made a large chunk of the voting community become biased.
What are some ways that candidates were portrayed?
Due to major racial inequality occurring in America, there was misinformation that only brought down Kamala Harris's campaign. NPR.org reported that there was an AI-generated image of Harris in what appeared to be a Soviet Union uniform. Businessman Elon Musk was the individual behind the negative depictions, and he had no problem embracing them. As the election was on the way, Musk co-signed Donald Trump and stuck around for a plethora of this shenanigans.
Were there any disturbing deepfakes?
So, in February, a deepfake video of Donald Trump surfaced the internet. It was him being intimate, per se, with Elon Musk's toes. There was a title saying, "Long live the real king." The reason behind the deepfake was to make fun of their relationship, for the community was enraged by the idea of the two making society deteriorate. For New Media Beat, I am Donovan Johnson. Back to you, Juliana.
Thank you, Donovan.
Thanks, Juliana. That's all for this week.
Thanks for listening to New Media Beat. New Media Beat is co-produced by Jaden Nunez, Henry Wilson, Quinn Dobson, and John DeLiso. Our engineer is Jaden Nunez. My co-host is Donovan Johnson. Thanks, Donovan.
Thanks, Juliana. Today we heard reports from Ava Holbruin, Donovan Johnson, Kayla Kidd, Aaliyah Ladie, Yvonne Obio, and Juliana Vasquez.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at the newmediabeat.org, where you can listen to all of our newscasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.